Joshua chapter 5, we are, as we're looking at the book of Joshua, one of the things that we're looking at are principles of spiritual leadership, and there are some important principles that we want to learn from tonight, and specifically, the principle that we want to look at tonight in Joshua chapter 5 and other chapters is that spiritual leadership, so we're not just merely talking about spiritual leaders. We are in the church. We're talking about, obviously, pastors. We're talking about deacons. We're talking about fathers who are to be spiritual leaders. We are talking about young men who are going to be leaders someday in their lives. And, of course, we have the setting here of Joshua leading the people of Israel to take the promised land. And so in Joshua chapter 5, the Bible tells us in verse 10, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, Art thou for us or for our enemies? And he, that is the man, said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, of course, we know that who did Joshua meet here? Joshua met the captain of the host of the Lord, all the armies of God. All, and who is that captain? The Lord Jesus is the captain. And here is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ meeting Joshua in the form of a man, and this man was the Lord. And Joshua recognizes that this man is the Lord. He says, the Bible says he fell to the earth and he worshiped him. And the Bible says, verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And of course, that reminds us of the Lord meeting Moses with the holy bush at the burning bush. And he said, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place you're standing is holy ground. And of course, in the narrative in chapter 6, verse 1, now we have the record of the conversation. And in verse number 2, it says, And the Lord said unto Joshua. He's talking to this man. And, of course, the word Lord there is in capital letters, capital L-O-R-D. And when we have the word L-O-R-D, it's the word Jehovah, speaking of the eternal God. And, of course, when Moses asked the man who was speaking to him, Who art thou? He says, I am that I am. And that's the word Jehovah. And Jesus, many times, he said, and like in John 8:58, he said, Before Abraham was, I am. I'm the eternal one. And so here was the Lord Jesus that Joshua met as he was surveying the city of Jericho. Now, there's many things we're going to say, we could say, but we want to notice that now Joshua is surveying the city. We could well imagine that You know, Joshua's trying to figure out how he's going to take this first city in the land, a walled city. And they don't have any battering rams, and they don't have any catapults that to throw rock bombs. And they're just been slaves. They've been wandering around for 40 years. How are they going to take this city? And Joshua obviously was a strategist, and he was a leader of the land, of the people, and a military man. But how is he going to take this city? And he is doing the part of a leader there, but you don't. There's a lot in between the lines, but keep that in the back of your mind. Chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and an accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Then, let's go to chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves, by lay by thee in ambush for the city behind it. And so Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. Now, notice the narrative. Joshua, as they're going to go against Jericho, guess what? He gets instructions from God. The next city, Ai. No instructions from God. The people are defeated. Try again. Joshua gets instructions from God. Go up to Ai, and this is how you'll do it. Very important truth, isn't it? Instructions from the Lord. Instructions from the Lord. Now we're going to take a little bit of time, and we're going to look at some other verses. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. First Samuel 23, now we have King David. I'm going to look at some principles here. 1 Samuel 23, 1 and 2. Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go. 1 Samuel 28. verse 6. Verse 5, and when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Neither by dreams, nor by the Urim, nor by the prophets. Then let's look back at David, 1 Samuel 30 and verse 8. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 8. This is after they came back to Ziklag, and their families had been taken captive by the Amalekites. Verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. We could read a few more. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. Now, obvious principle. Joshua got instructions from the Lord. Of how to take Jericho. He followed those instructions and Jericho was taken. Joshua did not get instructions of what to do next about Ai. He just went and did it. And the people were defeated. And the second time, after Achan was taken care of, Joshua gets instructions from the Lord, and now he is successful. We see David inquiring of the Lord, shall I do this? Shall I do that? And he gets directions from God. Now Saul was not right with God. He couldn't get directions from God. God wouldn't answer him. He couldn't lead the people. He couldn't get directions from God. Simple principle, isn't it? Simple but profound truth. Let's kind of put it together. What does that mean? Well, it means that leaders better have communion with God. Whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a deacon, whoever you are, better have communion with God. Better be able to meet God, and you better be able to get directions from God. You know, life has, you know, the Green Bay Packers, they have a lot of, what do they call them? Backseat drivers, you know? And trying to tell them what the coaches should do and what's best and what's right and all of that. And, you know, churches have that too. Churches have backseat drivers and they have it all figured out. Of what's supposed to happen and what's right and all of that. You know, it's kind of interesting. In 1 Timothy, it gives us pretty sound advice about pastors and deacons. 1 Timothy 3:4, it says about a pastor, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And we have that same truth in 1 Timothy 3:12, let the deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. Principle. You wouldn't want Saul to be the deacon, would you? You wouldn't want Saul to be the pastor. Because leaders need to get their directions from God. They need to, in order to have get their directions from God, they need to have communion with God. Romans chapter 8 is great truth. And this is characteristic of every Christian. Verse 14, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What does that tell us? Here's a great truth. A person who gets saved, now the Holy Spirit comes to live in their life, and now the Holy Spirit can lead them in their life. Can lead them, like it says in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And it says, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Ever think about that verse? He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Isn't it amazing that, you know what? It's sad to me that some Christians, they never go further in their spiritual life. They never advance in their convictions. They never grow. They never go forward. They're weaker, many of them, after 30 years of being a Christian, they're weaker than they were when they were 5 years old. They have less convictions. Doesn't seem to fit with my Bible. No way. And you know what? I don't think our church really wants to have anything to do with that kind of Christianity. We want real Christianity. Not fake, not professional, not dead, but the real thing. And so we have some important principles. First of all, a leader has to have communion with God. And in that communion with God, God is going to be able to instruct him through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. Okay? So let's look at some simple verses in the Bible. And this is a general principle of every Christian. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, but nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. Now, you know what this is talking about? This is talking about communion with God. That's what it's talking about. Meditating upon God's word day and night. That's talking about communion with God. Of course, a person has to read the Bible. Of course, a person has to be meditating upon the Bible, thinking upon the Bible. The Bible says, how long? They should be meditating on God's word day and night. It's the truth. The Bible is full of promises. The Bible is full of principles. The Bible is full of commands. The Bible is full of absolute truths. The Bible is full of everything we need to know about God's will. And as we read the Bible, as we study the Bible, as we meditate upon the Bible, the Holy Spirit is able to take that truth of the Word of God and teach us and instruct us and guide us. Able to get instruction from God's Word. You know, this is a daily pursuit of the believer. John chapter 15. We were there this morning. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no man can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. No, we have this principle of abiding. Fellowship with God. Communion with God. He describes it as, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me. Talking about fellowship with God, communion with God. It's talking about the Word of God, having free course in our life. It's talking about the truth of the Word of God, informing our soul and instructing our being. And so, we have a very simple principle. Communion with God. Communion with God. You know, we see, here's Joshua. He meets the Lord. The Lord tells him what to do. And by faith, he obeys it. You know, this is the pathway. This is the way it goes. Okay? Now, I suppose, there would be some who would say, boy, that's kind of a crazy way to defeat a city. Get some trumpets, march around this city, and the seventh day, march around it seven times and shout, and the wall's going to come tumbling down. Exactly. It was God's instructions. And he had to get them from God. And then by faith, he had to obey them. So the Bible is full of commands. You know, it's not too hard to figure out what God wants your family to do if you read the Bible and look at the direct commands. If you look at the commandments in the Bible and you read them and you ignore them, guess how it's going to turn out? I mean, it's pretty simple, isn't it? I think it's pretty simple. The The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I think Joshua is a little bit afraid to act on his own after he went ahead of God. And I think he was waiting now for God to direct him. And God was waiting for Joshua to take care of the problem, and then he could direct him. Now here's a principle. So, how do you get directions from God? Well, I think it's pretty simple. You probably aren't going to get him from Rush Limbaugh. You aren't going to probably get him by listening to talk radio all day. You know, you're probably not going to get too many instructions from God if all day long you're thinking about things that don't count. You know, one of the reasons I like to be able to work, do physical work, is I like the opportunity to have everything out of my life and be able to think. You know, some people, they always have to have some noise. Always have to be listening to something. They always have to have earbuds in their ear. They always have to be, you know, having this input, you know. I like being able, the opportunities to be able to think and think about God's Word and meditate on God's Word and pray over God's Word and ask God to lead my life. You know, you got to be able to be quiet. You be able to get away from all the things of life, to get in communion with the Lord. You know, you can get too busy, where you don't have time to think. You can be too preoccupied with worldly things. Like Psalm 1 says, you can have too much input into your mind of worldly things. You know, I think we ought to elect the right people, but I'm convinced that politics isn't going to save America. God is. And I'm not going to get too excited about the political process, because I don't hear anybody talking about God. And politics is not the answer. Although there are some specific answers out there. But, you know, our country needs God. Our country has turned its back on God. God has been outlawed. God's law has been mocked and spurned and violate it purposely and willingly. You can't murder 54 million or more children since the 1960s and think God's going to bless our country. Do you realize that in the 5th century, God used Islam to judge Christianity? Now, Islam is a very wicked religion. Now, there's some who call themselves Muslims, but they don't even know what their religion says. But it's a very wicked religion. It's a religion of the sword, and they killed millions and millions and millions and millions of people in the 5th and 6th century. Christians. I'm not sure they were saved Christians. But I believe that what we have in America right now in the West is God is using them again to judge our nation for its wickedness. But the politicians aren't telling us the truth because they're not talking about God. And some of them need to stand up to the press and tell the ant what the real solution is. But let's get back to what we're saying. Young person, let's apply it. Do you know how to get directions from God? Now, you know what? Sad to say, but I think we need to go a little bit step further backwards. Because I think that some young people who claim to be Christian, they don't want direction from God. They want to live their own life. They don't want God to tell them what to do. And they never ask God what they should do. Because they're rebellious, not surrendered. You will never be able to lead your life or your family or the work of God until you get right with God. Because to be a leader, you must have communion with God. And you can't get directions from God if you're not willing to surrender to Him. Isn't that right? He does not lead rebels. He does not lead disobedient Christians. He does not lead the proud. He does not lead know-it-alls. He doesn't lead them. Because to get directions from God, you first of all have to have communion with God. And then in that state, you can go to the Word of God. And God will take the commands of the Word of God. And He will make them clear to you. You know what? This is what you need to be doing. He'll take the principles of the Word of God. And He said, you know, this is how I work. You know, God works according to the spiritual laws. And we need to know the laws by which God works. And that's why we study the Bible. So we know how God works. How He acts, how He responds. And we go by the principles of the Bible. When there isn't a specific command, we take the principle of the Bible and say, now this is how God works. This is what's right. I'm going to apply this principle to my life. God will lead us. And it takes faith to obey. It takes faith to obey. And faith is the ability to act on what you know is right. And you know what's right on the basis of what the Bible says. And so, Joshua is a very good example of a man who had communion with God. He got his directions from God, and he led his people in obedience to God's commands. And he found the blessing of God. Turn back to Joshua chapter 1. We'll go back there just as we close. Joshua 1:8, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Notice, meditate therein day and night. Why? So you can know what is right, so you may obey it, and what? So you shall have good success. You know, you need to put yourself in a place where you need God in your life. You know, I count it one of the great blessings of being able to preach is the great blessing, sometimes pretty agonizing, but the great blessing of having to meditate on the Bible. The great blessing of coming to a place and say, okay, you know, I mean, it says that, but, you know, what's there? What's the truth there? What's the principle there? What's the great truth for our life? What can I give the people? And it's just a blessing. Meditate on the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, you know, just opens up the truth to you. And, oh, that's great. It's so exciting. You know, it's great to be in a place where you need to meditate on the Bible. It's a great thing to be in a place where you have to think about the Bible for hours and hours on end. Then you can digest it. Now, what can you do to put yourself in a place where you need to digest God's Word? Well, I can give you a real simple answer to that. You want the real simple answer? Go soul winning. Go out witnessing. Commit yourself to be a witness for Christ. And guess what? You're going to have some answers. You're going to have the Word of God right at the front lobes of your brain where the Spirit of God can use it. So you can tell people about Christ. And when you fail, you'll take your failure and you'll say, oh man, I wish I knew how to answer that question. I wish I knew how to reach that person. I wish I knew how to solve this situation. And what do? You meditate. You read the Bible. And you pray. And you meditate on God's Word. And God shows you the truth. And you begin to understand the truth. Because you're delivering the truth. Get yourself in a place. You know, we need more people who are willing to be disciplers. But you know, discipling is a huge commitment. It isn't something that, it's something that would take hours of time. I know I'm getting off the subject here, but I mean, where are the adults in the bus ministry? Where are the adults in the kids club ministry? We have some. Well, what if we didn't have all these young people? Would our church die for lack of workers for God? You ever ask yourself that question? I ask myself that question a lot. And you know, when you get in the middle of the work of God, it's one thing, you know, to be a backseat driver, taxicab driver, but it's another thing to get right in the middle of the real thing and have to get directions from God. And you know, the father that is 100% committed to raising his family for God, he's going to have to get answers from God, isn't he? He's going to have to be able to go to the Bible and get answers from God. He's going to be able to be that kind of person that when he hears the Word of God preached, that they're willing to act upon it and make decisions based on the truth. But here's a great principle. Joshua inquired of the Lord. Joshua got instructions from God. Joshua didn't get instructions from God. Failure. David got instructions from God. Saul didn't get instructions from God because he couldn't. Getting directions from the Lord and acting upon them. Not acting upon the counsel of the ungodly. Not acting what we think. Not doing what we always do or how we were raised. Most everybody here is first-generation Christian. That would be pretty seriously bad, wouldn't it? But going to the Word of God, getting directions from God. You know, last illustration, there was a missionary lady in the Congo. There was great revival in the Congo, Central African Republic, Kenya, Southern Chad, in the 1950s and 1960s, thousands and thousands of Africans got saved. At the same time, there was a cultural revolution. And the cultural revolution really was Satan's attack. And the communists used the cultural revolution. And thousands of pastors were killed, and deacons were killed, and Christians were killed. They were asked to take blood oath oil loyalty to the government, and or they would die, and Christians wouldn't do it. But in the midst of that, there's a missionary lady, and these murderers overtook the mission compound. She had absolutely no communication with anybody. These revolutionaries were hunting down anybody, any Christian they could get, and especially missionaries, to kill them. And I'm giving you a broad sweep of the story. And she had her Bible, though. She had her Bible. And she'd read her Bible. And I'm just kind of filling in some details here that aren't real. But she'd be reading her Bible, and the Spirit of God would say, "You need to get out of here." And, you know, it'd be some text in the Bible. And so she knew she needed to get out of that wherever she was hiding. And so she would escape somewhere else. And lo and behold, just an hour, even hours afterwards, these revolutionaries would swarm that place and ransack it and put it on fire. Oh, her life was saved. And then she would, wherever she was, somehow the Lord would direct her. She'd be reading her Bible. And the Lord would direct her to do something else. And she'd follow the Lord. And, oh man, her life is saved again. And it was like this for day after day after day. I can't remember the name of the book. My wife probably remembers. I think it's We Two Alone.
Ruth Hedgie.
Yeah, there it is. Ruth Hedgie, We Two Alone. And to make a long story short, she was finally rescued. She was rescued from that whole situation. She was in the right place at the right time when the rescuers came. And she was encouraged to write the book, We Two Alone, to show how God leads His people. How God uses His Word to lead the people. And it's a tremendous illustration of how we need to be in communion with God every day. Every day we need to be in communion with God. Every day we make tons of decisions. Some decisions are big. We need to make sure we're in communion with God and we're being led by the Spirit of God. And when we are in communion with God, we can be rest assured that we will have the blessing of God. And we will have what we will be in the place that God wants us to be. You know, I wonder today, even today, did you seek the Lord? Did you seek the Lord? I just wondered, in Faith Promise Missions, did you even, maybe there's some that didn't even seek the Lord. They said, I'm not participating. I wonder, are you in communion with God? Are you even in communion with God? Great principle. A spiritual leadership. Be in communion with God. Get instructions from God. And by faith, obey those instructions. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight for a simple truth from the Bible. A truth that is found over and over. And yet, Lord, a truth that we need to put in practice in our lives. People in communion with God. People reading their Bible. People studying their Bible. Listening to the truth of God. Listening for the voice of the Spirit of God to show us the right path. To know the right path of life. Lord, I pray for every father that is here tonight. I pray that you would encourage them to be spiritual leaders, to be in communion with God, to want to be in communion with you, to want to get direction from you, and to have the faith to obey the Word of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You know, the Lord is speaking to your heart. Maybe you're even a young person. And this is a great principle. Do you get your directions from God? Or do you get your directions from your fellow teenagers? Are we looking to the Lord for directions for life? The Lord has spoken to your heart tonight and say, Pastor, you know, I realize tonight there's something really missing from my life. And that is this great truth of getting directions from God. going to the Word of God, looking for principles, promises, commands that will direct, God will use to direct me in doing what is right. And the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. Say, Pastor, God spoke in my heart. God spoke in my heart about this great truth about being the leader of my family, or being a leader as a person, following God. And you say, you know, I need to be in God's Word. I need to be filling my life with God's Word. I need to be looking to God for answers. I need to be looking for God to show me the truth when I come to church and acting upon those great truths. And the Lord has spoken to your heart and say, you know, there's an important decision I need to make about this tonight. Pastor, please pray with me. Anyone here tonight? Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. That is good. Amen. Others? Okay, it's great to see young people get a hold of these things. Okay? Amen. Anyone else? Okay, praise the Lord. I see that hand. Anyone else? Lord, now I pray that you'll bless these decisions. A simple decision like this is the basis of spiritual success. And so I pray your Holy Spirit would seal these decisions, make them real in the life. Maybe even, Lord, there are big ones to be made tonight that are being made. And Lord, might you be glorified in them. In Jesus' name, amen.